Thank you, Dr. Lednecki, staff, students, all. Thank you for the invitation. I don't get away from Braeswood very often. I'm very busy there as a pastor, but when I have an invitation, I enjoy the pleasure of meeting the body of Christ and observing the wonderful work. Now, I've been aware of Evangel for a long time. A third of our staff, we have three ministers on our staff from Evangel and CBC, I'm sorry. This is CBC. Okay, I just lost 50 points, I know that. Well, at least I didn't say Southwestern. All of our schools, I have had the pleasure of being on several campuses, and they're all a great blessing to our fellowship. And I have sensed the excitement of Central Bible College. And the students that we have had the pleasure of sending or they're coming to this school have all brought back a contagion, a spirit of excitement to our body that is well rewarded. And I just want to say to all of you here, it's been my joy, Joyce and myself, to be here and to sense what God is doing and to recognize that God is raising up workers for the harvest. And the harvest will continue until Jesus comes. And his coming, I feel, is near. I sense the quickening pulse of the revelation knowledge in my heart. The Lord is coming soon. And I'm excited about it. But I want everybody to be saved before he comes. That's the heartbeat of God, and that is the desire of my heart. I bring you greetings from the South Texas District, from the Braeswood Assembly of God Church. And it's my joy to send as many students as I can to this school, as well as other of our schools. It would be a pleasure someday to say that Braeswood has students in all of our schools at one time. I think that'd be a tremendous accomplishment. And maybe God will let us have that pleasure someday. Well, school's almost out. The best is yet to come. The finals. The real test of performance, the real test of what you have acquired, what you've learned this year. I do not believe in bumper sticker theology, but I do read one occasionally that jogs me. And I was behind a car and I got a glimpse of something on the bumper, and I shouldn't say I sped up to read it, but I did hurry along to catch him at a red light so I could read that bit of wisdom. And what caught my eye was prayer in school. And so I finally caught up with him down the road, and the bumper sticker said this: we need not worry about prayer in school as long as there are examinations. Amen? Amen? Now, if you're not praying about those examinations, and of course you must study to show yourself approved, and store into the cognizance of your being all that information. And then you can rest assured when you pray, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance in the time of need that which you have applied to your memory. He can't bring up what you haven't stored. And when God blesses nothing, it's nothing. And when God blesses something, it's something. So give God something to bless. Study. Do your homework. Get ready. How many of you have ever, at any time, ever undergone stress? Let's see your hands. Okay. I wanted to make sure I was in the right congregation to preach this sermon. I want to talk to you about stress management. And I want to talk about stress management as Jesus applied it. Would you agree with me that probably one of the most stressful personalities that ever lived in this world was Jesus Christ? He was harassed. He was set upon. He was lied about. He was deceived. They sought every method of stopping him that was possible to humanity. He hardly had a moment to himself. He had to steal away to have a moment to himself, or bring the disciples aside privately to have a moment to himself. I think Jesus knew stress. I say, now wait a minute, Brother Bang. We all know that Jesus was God. Yes, he is God, but he was man. And he was man as though he was all man, and he was God as though he was all God. But he suffered every trial and temptation that is common to man. He suffered the experiences of stress. And when you study the life of Jesus Christ, you will find that he was a master at stress management. And we will do well to watch and read and follow as a pattern his life. He was and is our great example. So I want you to get a piece of paper somewhere and write down these points, because these are the points that Jesus used in stress management, and they work. With all of the stress and press of the day upon Christ, it seems as though he was never in a hurry. Seems as though he was always at ease. There was a calmness about him that was effective and touched the lives of all about him. It seems as though in the most frantic moments he was one of peace and spoke those words of peace and comfort to the frantic crowds. How in the world did he do it as God-man? Well, that was something that piqued my interest. And so I started a research in the Word of God to find out what method he used in managing stress as God-man. Tempted in all measures, common to man. And if I could discover those methods and apply them, they would work for me. Because I do not believe Jesus came to do something we cannot do. As a matter of fact, he said, greater things than I have done shall you do, because I go to the Father, and because I will pray the Father, and he will send you another like unto me, the Holy Spirit, and he will lead and guide us in that most holy truth. Now let me launch into this. The first method of stress management that Jesus used was one of identification. Know who you are. If you don't know who you are, there are people lining up to tell you who you are. And they'll tell you where to go, and they'll tell you what to do and when to come back. There's all manner of people that are eager to control and to manipulate and to derive you into their form. As a matter of fact, the Bible warns us that we should not allow ourselves to be poured into the mold that the world has for us. Break out of the mold of the world and get involved in what God would have us to do in the creative spirit of his genius. Know who you are. Well, look at Christ. He knew who he was. Remember what Moses said, or God said to Moses when he said, "Who will I say has sent me?" when he returned to Egypt. "I am has sent you." Well, listen to what Jesus said when he spoke of his own identification. He said, "I am the light of the world," John 8:12. He said in John 10:9, "I am the door." He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light." He said in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd." He said in John 10:36, "I am the Son of God." Jesus knew who he was. And we need to know who we are. The great cosmotic questions of life must be answered. And I do not believe the secular world can answer these questions. I believe it is an answer that comes from the church that is saturated and bathed in the Word of God and directed by the Holy Spirit. We need to know where we came from. We need to know why we are here. We need to know who we are. And we need to know where we're going. And God speaks to us regarding those measures. We must have our own identification. I am a born-again believer. I am a child of God by virtue of faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells within me, and powerful is that Spirit that is in me. Greater is that Spirit than all the spirit of the world. I know where I came from. I know who I am. I know what my job is, and I know where I'm going. Now, I don't need anybody else to walk up beside me and tell me. We must have an identity. If we're going to accomplish anything for God, we have to know that God has touched our lives and called us to accomplishment and called us to performance and called us in direction, and we're walking in the order of God's grace. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew the Father, and everything that he desired to do was to please the Father. And he said, only the words the Father gives me do I have to give you. And all the words that he gives me, I will give unto you. And we know that's also the reason for the Holy Spirit's coming. So we must have that identity. Turn stress that is a suppressor, that is a robber, and turn it into a servant. We can if we know who we are. The stress will come. The press will come. The power to change, to do this, to alter this, to compromise, all the stresses will come. And if you know who you are, you stand fast and firm and you say, no. I know who my Redeemer is. I know my God. I know my Word. I know the authority of God, and I'm walking in Him. The second principle of handling stress is dedication. Know whom you're trying to please. You can't please everybody. Don't try it. John 5:30, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but I seek the will of the Father who sent me. Know whom you're trying to please. Know the power and the stress of the direction in which you intend to go. Even God couldn't please everybody. Jesus couldn't please everybody. You can't please everybody. Don't try to please everybody, but try to please God first and foremost. And if you know God is pleased, you can handle all the other frustrations that comes in the process of life. We need to know Matthew 3:17. And lo, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And we need to hear that once in a while. We need to know that assurance and affirmation from God once in a while. And we will receive it as we walk with Him. God finds great pleasure in that. He finds great pleasure in giving us direction. But we must be dedicated to the one whom has called us. When you don't know who you are, and you don't know who you're trying to please, three things are going to happen. The first thing is criticism. Because you are concerned about what others think, you're going to be concerned with criticism, and you're going to give into criticism. And criticism will occur. Competition will occur. You'll worry about somebody getting ahead of you if you're not dedicated, and you don't know to whom you're dedicated. You'll worry about somebody getting ahead of you. And thirdly, conflict, because you're threatened by disagreement. People will criticize. People will disagree. But so what? If you know who you are and you know who you're trying to please, let the criticism come. If God is pleased and everybody else is displeased, and they won't be, by the way. If God is pleased, the church will not be displeased. If God is pleased, those born of the Spirit and directed by the Spirit will not be displeased. They will be directed in spirit and be directed in camaraderie and truth. There are some interesting things about stress. Stress is good, you know. Stress is good for us. I want to give you a couple of scriptures that are strange scriptures in reference to stress. If we think in terms of stress as something we don't want and we're going to try to avoid, then we are in a negative posture of the element of learning, because stress is a teacher, a good teacher. Listen to Romans 5, 3 through 4. Now, I'm going to use the word stress where the Bible would use the word tribulation. Would you agree with me? Tribulation is stress? Okay. Romans 5, 3 through 4. We glory in stress, also knowing that stress works patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope. We glory in final examinations. We rejoice in pop quizzes. Now, come on. This is good for us. Somebody asked Billy Graham one time, do you ever become stressful and uptight before you speak? He said, every time. He said, I never go to the podium that I don't feel that stress and that press and that feeling of awesomeness of the task. But he says, when I get there, the Holy Spirit breathes upon me and I feel the liberty of doing what the Father has sent me to do. So stress and tribulation is shaping us, molding us, and developing a character within us that can stand the fire of opposition and criticism of time. If we crumble under every point of criticism, if we crumble under every bit of adversity, we'll never get off first base. But knowing who we are and knowing to whom we are dedicated, we have that assurance that when the stress comes, the Master has allowed it. The Master has ordained it. And no stress will ever come upon you but what you can bear it. And in the moment of stress, you know that you have a way of escape because God is a way maker. Listen to 2 Corinthians 12, 9, 10. By grace, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my stress, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. That sounds strange, doesn't it? I glory in my stress. The word in the King James, infirmities. Well, that's a stressful situation. Verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in my stress and in my reproaches, in my necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, when I am under stress, then I am strong. So stress is a tool and a teacher that molds us and shapes us and assists us to become what God would have us to be. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and focus on pleasing the Father in every method and every aspect of life. One thing stress will do will create priorities. A man was off work and he returned after a couple of weeks and his supervisor said, how's it going? He said, rough. He said, I have been 2 weeks taking examination. They've discovered that I have a severe case of leukemia. Doesn't appear to be much hope for my life, one of debilitation. The supervisor said, what has this done to change your life? And he said, it's helped me get my priorities in order. Stress will help us get our priorities in order. When we face the unanswerable question in life by the process of stressful situations that God permits to come upon our way as children of God, it will help us to get our priorities in order. Would you agree with me that this occurs? Jonah, when God saw fit to create a large fish to swallow him up in the belly of that fish, he got his priorities in order. Now, would you agree that's a stressful situation? He got his priorities in order. In the mud pits of Egypt, the Israelites, they got their priorities in order in whom they should serve. Blinded and chained to a millstone, Samson got his priorities in order as to the source and resource of his power. We need to understand that stress is a means of prioritizing our life. A lot of us would never have the priorities in order we have if stress would not have come along the way. But I know who I am, and I know whom I have dedicated to serve. And the third principle I want to bring to you is organization. Not only is it important that you know who you are and know whom you're to please, but you are also to be organized in accomplishing that. God is a God of order. And all things he does in decency and in order. John 8:14, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. You cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. So the organization of priorities, the organization of first things first, is important in our life. We must have that in order. We must know the order of His Word. We must know the order of His Spirit. We must know the priorities that God applies. And those things that God said are first and foremost, those are the things we will give ourselves to in first order. And the organization and structure of our life, we must not allow confusion to order and rule in our lives, but to walk in a concentration of knowledge. Study the Word. Show yourself approved unto God, that you would be proper workmen, ordered and organized, doing the work of God Almighty. So organization is important. When we're disorganized, stress is a natural part of that disorganization. But when we're organized, we have an awareness of control, because the stressful situation is not controlling you. By virtue of organization, you are controlling the situation. God hasn't called us to be the tail of anything. He hasn't called us to be under anything. And if there's any one thing I believe children of God will be, it's organized people. Your life will be organized. You will not be late for classes. You're organized. You get there on time. Your homework will be done on time because you're organized. Your life is one of order, and your homework is in on time. I said in my notes, when I say that, there'll be a rousing amen. But I thank you. One thing we do struggle against, and that's organization. The fallen state of man is one of gross disorganization. But one of the first things that happened when you come to Jesus Christ is He starts ordering your life. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. The fourth point I want to bring regarding how Christ used stress management has to do with concentration. Focus on one thing at a time. We're often distracted by many voices and many things that we want to do. But concentrate on one thing at a time. People tried to distract Jesus from His goals. They tried to turn His head and turn Him. One time they would have made Him to become king had He listened to them. But He would not listen to them. He had His orders. He was organized. He was following in the full knowledge of His concentration of God. Listen to the words of Dr. Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 42. When it was day, He departed and came to a desert place, and the people sought Him and came unto Him and stayed Him, that He should not depart from them. Jesus responded in verse 43. And He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God in other cities also. For therefore am I sent. Now let me speak to the student body. You are called of God to be here as a student. You need to know that. That's who you are. You're a student of the Word of God. You have been sent here to learn and to give yourself and your concentration to that effort. There are many voices that would draw you away from that concentrated effort. But listen to the reason for your being here and the calling of God upon your life. You have been sent here to learn. And so give yourself through concentration to this effort. Focus on one thing at a time. Concentrate upon it. Give yourself to it. Concentrate on that single task. There's a saying that comes out of my childhood. I was raised on a ranch in South Texas, just on the Mexican border between San Antonio and Laredo. And there's an old phrase that comes from the home folk there that goes something like this. You can't catch two jackrabbits at one time. Now, by virtue of strength and speed and agility, you might catch one. But if you catch it, you're going to have to concentrate on that one rabbit and chase it, give it all you got. You can't catch two at one time. Concentrate. We had a dog that we named Bob, and I don't know why, except perhaps he had a short tail. And he had a short life too, but I didn't know that till later. But old Bob loved to chase rabbits. He never caught one, but he loved to chase them. And every time he could find one in the open, it was a chase. And I would root for Bob. I said, get him, Bob. You can get him. Go for it. You can make it this time. You're going to catch him. Go for it. And just like he recognized what I was saying, and he'd just give it everything he had. But he never caught one. We were in the field one day, and it was open, just little bushes here and there, an open plowed field, and old Bob jumped two cottontails under one bush. And they headed straight out, right side by side, and he was after him. And boy, I was giving him every bit of encouragement I could get him. I said, you got it, you're going to get it this time, you're going to get him this time. And after he had gone about 150 yards, it's just like one rabbit said to the other, "This is not working. I'm going to the right, you go to the left." And so they peeled off. And old Bob went straight ahead looking both ways. He went. Never caught one of them. He could have. If he had concentrated on one of them, he'd have caught it. And I gave him a lecture when he came back. I said, "Bob, you got to learn to concentrate." I think one of the smartest rabbits I ever saw in the world, old Bob was chasing a jackrabbit, long-legged jackrabbit. This has nothing to do with the sermon. It's one of those illustrations that I just want to use. He chased that rabbit, and it looked like he was going to catch him. It must have been an old rabbit. It looked like he was going to make it, and I was rooting for him. And all of a sudden, that rabbit just stopped and just rolled up in a ball. And as old Bob went over the top of him, he ducked his head, and he rolled just like a bowling ball. Rabbit got up, shook himself off, and trotted off in the bush. Well, you've got to concentrate on what you're doing. I knew I'd find a way to bring it in there somewhere. It's amazing how God can anoint you to use illustrations that don't fit. Okay, quickly now, the fifth principle of handling stress is delegation. Don't try to do it all yourself. You can't do it. God never intended for you to do everything yourself. Delegate. And we need to learn to delegate. Jesus called 12 men out of the ranks and chose them and commissioned them to go and do the work of righteousness. He didn't try to do it all himself. In fact, he was going away and have to leave the kingdom in their hands. In Mark 3:13, just mark it down. You can read it for yourself. Don't try to do it all yourself. Protectionism. Now, it's because we're reluctant to delegate because we are protecting and we're fearful. And nobody can do it like me. If you want to do it right, do it yourself. Have you ever heard that? Well, that's not true. There are a lot of people on my staff can do things better than I can do them. And that's why they're on my staff. I select people to be members of the staff, ministers that can do things better than I can do them. And delegate them to do it. And all along the line, throughout the church, there has to be a delegation of authority, or we restrict ourselves in size and restrict ourselves in dimension. God wants us to learn. This is a process of handling stress. Learn to delegate. You can't do it all yourself. The sixth principle of handling stress is meditation. Make it a habit of personal prayer, and make it a habit of concentrating on the Word of God. Make it a habit of meditating upon the Word of God. A lot of meditation floating around in the New Age movement and the world of theology today is absolutely diabolical. Let me just give you a point of reference. Anytime you're involved in meditation that is not anchored in the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ is out of order. Any meditation that is not directed to the Word of God and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ is out of order. And anytime you find the word meditation in the Bible, you'll find it anchored to the Word of God or anchored to the thoughts of God Almighty. You must keep that in mind. And prayer is a gigantic press reliever. It is a great decompression chamber. And especially when you're praying in the Spirit. Especially when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you're worshiping the Lord in a tongue that is unknown to you, as the Holy Spirit draws you into the very heart of God and into the heart room of God and releases you in your expressions of praise and adoration. He that prayeth in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. We need to know that edifying, that upbuilding, that internal strength that God gives us through the person of the Holy Ghost is something we ought to participate in daily. The seventh principle of handling stress is recreation. R-E-C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N. Recreation. We need time alone from the stress and the press of the hour to find time to restructure ourselves. Mark 6:31-32. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, and we have had not leisure enough to eat properly." And they departed into the desert privately in a private ship. So what he's really saying here is, fellas, you deserve a break today. I want you to take a cruise with me. Get in the ship. We're going to go over here and we're going to have ourselves a time of leisure. We're going to have ourselves a time of recreation. We're going to have some leisure time and we're going to sit down and eat properly. Anytime we're so busy we can't eat properly, and we're so busy we can't take a little time somewhere to find time for recreation, we are out of order. And anybody in the ministry that feels like physical education is not part of your ministerial learning, you are out of order. That is the scriptural part of handling stress. And we need that. And I want to stress that openly and clearly. I want to stress that point. Now, the last point I want to bring, the eighth point. Now, I know there's too many points for a sermon, but this isn't a sermon. Haven't you noticed this is not a sermon? This is a lecture. And lectures can be longer and more points than sermons. Dr. Moon, that's all right, isn't it? Homiletically? Okay. This is not a sermon. It's a lecture. The eighth principle of handling stress that Jesus used is transformation. Give your stress to Jesus. Turn your stress loose. God is a stress manager, and he is a stress releaser. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you that are stressed, I'll give you rest. How? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest from stress unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Transformation. Thank God for transformation. Now let me give you those 8 points quickly. Just run over so you won't miss any of them. First of all, now this is the stress management process of Jesus Christ. I've given you scripture for every one of these, and I could give you many more scriptures. I've just selected one or two. First, identification. Identification, know who you are. I am a child of God. Dedication, know whom you're trying to please. God alone. Three, organization. Know what you're trying to accomplish. Simple goals. Now, today. Four, concentration. Focus on one thing at a time and get it done. Get A done, then go to B, finish B, go to C. Five, delegation. Don't do it all yourself. You need help. Make assignments. Six, meditation. Make a habit of personal prayer. Recharge your spiritual batteries through prayer and through meditation upon the Word of God. Time alone with God and the Word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Seven, recreation. Take time off to enjoy life. Balanced life. Balanced life is a key to stress. And eight, transformation. Give your stress to Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. He careth for you. Father, I ask your blessing upon this entire body of believers. And pray this morning that somehow, some way, these points that I have delivered from the Word of God will be a factor in our life. And I thank you for the administration. I thank you for the great administrator you placed over this school, Brother Lednecki. I thank you for the gift of administration and the gift of the spirit and direction you've given to him and to the staff of the school.